More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Bandwidth Bandits. Is someone in your life constantly draining your time, energy, or attention? We'll help you set some limits and get your bandwidth back. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Bandwidth Bandits. We're talking about those people in your life who, you know, may need help or not, but they don't have any problem asking you for as much time and energy and attention as you can possibly give, and then maybe a little more.
And I'm not sure it's just asking. It's usually pressuring in some way. And maybe it's more of a subtle way so that they can say they're really not. Maybe it's very intense. But it's never just, hey, would you mind? And if you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm working that day, or I've got a doctor's appointment, they just go, oh, no problem. Didn't mean to, you know, bother you. I'll work something out. It's guilt. It's pressure. It's making you feel like somehow you having a life is an insult to them.
Yeah, and so we're going to, you know, and it's complicated because we want to be generous, you know, to others. We know that we're called to be generous, even if we don't want to. but then, you know, a lot of times the people who are being those bandwidth bandits are people that are close to us or that we care about or that our lives are entangled with in some way, at least.
Yes.
And there's a lot of pressure, sometimes external pressure from people who are telling us that we need to do things that maybe, you know, we don't, aren't sure really our best for the right thing to do. For example, helping a sibling who is dealing with addictions, but, you know, we're helping them in a way that might make that problem worse.
Yeah, right? Like you give them money and that money goes to whatever their addiction is, chemicals, gambling, whatever that is.
You know, or sometimes the pressure is internal. You know, where we feel guilty or we feel like, well, I have to do something.
Or there's the internal pressure of if I do enough, maybe somebody will approve of me. Somebody will tell me I'm worthwhile. Somebody will give me the pat on the back that I deserve so badly, whether it's that person or other people noticing us. Or maybe it's that we think that if we do enough in terms of service that we'll get some kind of approval from God that we don't realize we don't need to earn because He's already given us all of His love and approval.
Amen. No, so we're talking about how to be generous in ways that are actually helpful to others and healthy for us, because we're allowed to do that. And we'll unpack why as we talk through the show today, especially in our Theology of the Body reflection. But every day on More to Life, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Tell us, is there someone in your life who's constantly draining your time, energy, or attention? And it could be a friend, a relative, a parent, an adult child, or someone you know who's struggling. And maybe you really do want to help them, but it somehow seems like it's never enough. Or, you know, maybe you've tried to set some limits, but they just roll right over them. maybe you feel like you need to set some limits, but you're afraid to hurt their feelings or be a bad Christian, like I was just talking about. And, you know, whoever is draining your bandwidth and however guilty you feel about wanting it back, we want to help you find ways to be generous without losing yourself. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to ask, how could some theology help us navigate the time-sucking people in our life? Well, it actually has a lot to do with that, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really important question. He wanted to know what the Catholic vision of thriving was. What would it look like for a Catholic person to thrive? And what would it look like for a Catholic person to really have the kind of healthy, holy relationships that God created us for?
And he wrote all this, said all this, and it became what we call the theology of the body. And it reminds us that we're not just called to love. We're called to love responsibly. That's the difference between true love and mere sentimentality. Sentimentality is what we feel when we feel bad for someone and want to do something, regardless of whether it does any good. Sentimentality leaves us wide open to manipulation because it's based on feelings rather than facts. True Christian love is different in that it does move us to care for others, but only in ways that will actually be healthy for them and for us.
Yeah, so, you know, when someone is draining our time or our energy, it's not usually because they're a bad person. More often, it's because we've let sentiment quietly take the place of love. You know, we feel bad for that person, and we decide that we can't say no. We can't set that limit, or we have to keep pouring ourselves out, even though our efforts are making things worse. You know, St. John Paul said that generosity isn't automatically virtuous just because it costs us something. It's possible to give in ways that are actually disordered, in ways that not only drain us, but may also not ultimately be good for the other person.
In order for generosity to actually be generous, the gifts of time and effort that we give need to be reasonable and have a reasonable chance of producing good fruit. It isn't enough for us to do something. We have to prayerfully believe that the something we do is healthy for us and actually helps the other person be healthier or more virtuous in some way. If not, what feels like generosity could actually end up magnifying the problem.
So the answer, of course, isn't to stop being compassionate or generous. It's to stop reacting and start responding. You know, reacting says, oh, they're upset or there's something wrong. I have to fix it now. Responding, though, challenges us to pray, Lord, how could I respond to this person's pain in a way that helps them be their best self and is healthy for me? You know, God calls each of us to be as generous as we are able while still making sure that what we're doing is really working for the other person's good and that we're doing it in a way that is healthy for us. That sounds great on paper. Of course, the challenge is when, you know, your mother-in-law is the one calling you, or your adult child who's struggling with an addiction is calling you, or, you know, you name it is calling you, and, you know, you want to help. But then it feels like either they're taking advantage or the help you're giving is never enough and it's sucking up more of your own life.
Or it's damaging the other people in your life in some way that you probably have more primary responsibility for. Or at the very least, that text, that phone call that you get, that information that comes your way has you spinning out and spending your energy on it in your head all day long. It just sucks all your energy out. You end up being fit for nothing else. So thank
you
for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Not really. And it drains you and actually leaves you more incompetent to help because you get so anxious, upset, and not sure of what to do. There's no grace in that. But when we truly pray, when we truly take it to God and say, Lord, I want to be of service to you and this person in some way, but help me discern what is mine to carry and what I need to delegate to other people, even the person that's asking for the help in some way. And that can be very hard to tease out, especially when we're talking about people who are in a place where you're more advantaged than they are in some way. You have more resources, more experience than they do, more capability in some way, shape, or form, whether that's you're dealing with, you know, your young adult children, an aging parent, somebody you truly care about, but you just don't know how to use those resources in a way that truly benefits them and keeps you and the people you're responsible for healthy and whole.
877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. The show today titled Bandwidth Bandits. And we're asking, is somebody in your life constantly draining your time, energy, attention, or bandwidth? We want to help you be generous in ways that are good for them, healthy for you, but don't let you get so caught up in the drama or so drained dry from your efforts that it's not good for you or for them. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you and we bring to you those people in our lives who really need help, who want our help, who we do want to help, but who it seems like it's never enough, that the calls never end, or the requests for help never end, or the effort that we make isn't really bearing fruit, but we feel like we have to do something. Lord, help us to know how to respond to those people and situations in ways that are truly good for them and healthy for us, so that we can be generous in ways that don't contribute to the problem, but actually help situations become better, help them be healthier, and help us be stronger as well, so that in our efforts to be helpful to others, we can truly build your kingdom. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Bandwidth Bandits, as we talk about those times when someone in our life, who either needs help or thinks they need help, just doesn't stop.
How do you be a good Christian and still make sure you're caring for your own needs and not ending up doing something that's not good for them while you're trying to do your best for them? It can be complicated, so let's figure it out together today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We got a message here from Colleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She says, my sister calls me almost every night very upset about her marriage and other problems in her life, sometimes for an hour or more. Lately, it's cutting straight into the time I have with my own husband and kids after dinner. We've always been close, and we always talked almost daily just to check in. But in the last year, she and her husband have been going through a particularly hard time. He cheated on her, and she was devastated. Then she had a health scare that had all of us worried. Fortunately, she's okay physically, but she's really struggling emotionally still. I love her, and I don't want to abandon her, but sometimes I don't feel like I'm helping. I'm not even sure she really hears me. I'll suggest things or encourage her to seek counseling, but she just talks past me. I hang up drained. I'll try to let her know that I need to get off the phone, but she doesn't stop. How do I stay a loving sister and give her the support she needs and that I want to give her without letting her take the time that belongs to my own family? That's from Colleen in Ohio.
Colleen, thank you so much for the email and for letting us know kind of some of the context here. Because, I mean, this is a really hard situation. Your sister's really gone through a lot. And, of course, you know, I mean, our hearts break for her. We don't even know her. I can't even imagine how awful you feel for her and everything that she's been through. And I think it's wonderful that you want to be there for her. It's also appropriate to ask, you know, what boundaries do I need to set? Because what you're describing here is, I think, a subtle example of what we're talking about when we're being generous in ways that aren't being helpful and that aren't really working for the ultimate good of the other person. Excuse me. So what do I mean by that? Well, when somebody is in a more kind of traumatic mindset, And that's really, I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know,
she's experienced real trauma.
Infidelity is traumatic. People don't necessarily appreciate that, but there is a kind of PTSD that's related to that.
Absolutely, there is. And then to have that health scare right on top of it, you know, that really solidifies that.
So she's in a very reactive space. Her, in putting this in brain terms, her limbic system, her emotional brain has taken over. And her thinking brain is offline. And so she's just really reacting. So that, and you know, in parenting, we call that being dysregulated, right? Where the child is so upset and out of sync that they can't actually attend to what's going on around them. That's what you're describing with your sister. You're saying you're talking to her, like you'll suggest things, but she just talks past you. You say, hey, I need to go, and she just ignores it. It's not that she's being rude. It's that she's really not hearing you. She's so caught up with all the noises in her own head and all the feelings that are swirling around. She's venting to try to feel better, but anything you say, it won't be used against you, but it won't really do any good, you know, because she's not in a receptive place. She's so dysregulated that she can't take anything in or learn. In order for us to learn and change, our thinking brains have to be engaged. Certainly our emotions are always online, but we're able to respond to things rather than react to them. And she's in this very reactive place. And so in that situation, really the most loving thing you can do is to set some boundaries. You obviously don't want to cut her off, but it's okay to say to her, hey, listen, you know, I love that we check in every day, but I know that you need a little bit more from me right now. And in order for me to give you what you need from me, I kind of need to reserve it for these times where I have more time. Because I really hate having to cut you off after 15 minutes or after, you know, whatever it is, because I need to, you know, be with my husband or do this thing or that. I really want to give you the time that you deserve. So that means that I'm only available on these days and at these times for this period of time. You know, and if you just want to call and check in or something for 10 minutes like we used to, that's perfectly fine. I'm always here for that. But if you need more time, we need to reserve it for these spaces. So you're giving her what she's asking for. You're giving it to her in a way that's actually healthy for you. Now, the other qualifier I'll put on that is that you're not her counselor, and you're not qualified to be her counselor.
And you've suggested that she gets counseling, but at this point, because she's in this kind of PTSD reactive place, she probably doesn't even have the bandwidth to be able to search counselors online, find somebody. So if you could find one or two in her area or resources that would work for her and just give her that information so she can act on it, then when you begin to see that maybe she's spinning out in a conversation that you have with her, that her anxiety level is particularly high, then you can say to her, okay, I really want you to be able to heal from this. Please call one of the resources that I gave you, because this is bigger than I can do for
and
you.
And hold that line, okay? If you've made a suggestion once or twice before and she hasn't taken it on this particular issue, then your default has to be, that's something you really need to talk to a counselor about. Have you called those people that I recommended to you? You know, and so that's your cue, right? If it's either a problem that makes you feel overwhelmed, or you've suggested something once or twice and she's not following through with it, then that means that she is in a headspace where she can't take advantage of help unless she gets some professional help first. And so you want to really just kind of defer to that. And if you do that once or twice and she still kind of keeps talking over you, then you make the excuse to get off the phone, even if it's in that space of time that you've told her, because at that point you're not being helpful at all. So keep those things in mind. And I think that will allow you to be generous to her and provide the support she wants from you, but in a way that's healthy for you and your family. Thanks so much for the question, Colleen. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. And if you feel that she would be amenable to faithful Catholic support, then encourage her to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Bandwidth Bandits. Is there somebody in your life that is just draining your time, energy, or attention? We want to help you be generous in ways that are actually helpful, but also healthy for you. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, We'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on this exact topic. So stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Bandwidth Bandits, as we talk about those times when someone we care about is just constantly draining our time, energy, or attention. Let us help you set those limits that enable you to be generous in healthy, helpful ways. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And you wanted to talk a little bit about how this applies to our relationship with our children.
Yes, I'm sure many of your listeners can relate or possibly in the situation of raising kids. My wife, Rebecca, and I right now are navigating the stormy seas of three teenagers and a 10-year-old who thinks he's 20 sometimes. So this is a great topic to step into. There's a wonderful book by St. John Paul the Great, which you are, of course, you know you're tangentially mentioning. It's Love and Responsibility from 1960. And he talks a lot about the emotional aspects of life and what he calls sentimentality and how we navigate these feelings and emotions and not get swept away in simply placating people and saying, as long as you're happy, or how do I just make you happy? He always seeks through those subjective emotions, subjective good. So I'm thinking of my kids. I'm thinking of those times when, you know, the waves are very choppy, the emotions are running high. And yes, receive the emotion. But in a certain sense, like the ship, let those waves kind of bounce off of you, stay firm and stay on course. It doesn't mean you shut down their emotions. It means you navigate them with a kind of tenderness, and this is what JP2 talks about in the book Love and Responsibility, a kind of right to tenderness that children have, but as parents, us going deeper down into their objective good.
And I think a lot of parents today especially have been so geared toward, let's validate the feelings, which is important. Naming feelings, teaching children what their feelings are, validating that, that's all important. But until we move to working for their good, what's the line we need to draw so they feel safe, so they know we can count, you know, be counted on to work for their good and be able to give them those boundaries to work within that make them feel safer? That moves us away from the sentimentality, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, it's sort of like the objective nature of a rudder or a sail or even an anchor when it's needed. Without all that objective constituent parts, you're a ship tossed on the waves. You're a leaf in the wind, and we've all probably experienced, maybe personally or we've seen it in others, other families, when kids rule the day and their emotions are taking over, and it's ugly. It's like releasing the beast. We have to really keep that objective good in mind and be that calm that guides them to the port of peace. It might take a while, but we've got to weather those storms as parents.
And Bill, is anything coming up at the Theology of the Body Institute you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, we've got, again, our five-day immersive retreats, and we're so grateful when you spotlight that. We give people a chance to enter into this rich teaching. We have TOB2 coming up in about a week, and some other courses this fall at TOB1 in October. And I really invite your listeners to pray about this a week away, where we immerse ourselves prayerfully in a study of this great teaching.
And where can folks learn more about all that, Bill?
Yeah, tobinstitute.org. We'd love to see it in person. You can also see a whole layout of our courses now online and on demand. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Check it out, tobinstitute.org. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And we're taking your listeners, taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Yes, we're taking your listeners. We are taking your calls, and we are asking you to give us a holler and tell us about those people in your life that you feel might be bandwidth bandits. You know, is somebody that you care about or that at least you're entangled with just constantly draining your time, energy, attention? We want to help you be generous, but in ways that are actually helpful to them and healthy for you. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Why does marriage require complete fidelity between spouses? The Catholic Catechism states that the intimate union of marriage is a mutual self-giving of two persons ordered to the welfare of their children, which requires that there be an unbreakable union between them. The deepest reason is found in the fidelity of Christ to His church. Through the sacrament of matrimony, the spouses are able to represent that fidelity and witness to it. For these reasons, the spouses can be nothing but completely faithful to one another. Marriage is such a deep, personal union of giving oneself to the other that it cannot, the Catechism asserts, be an arrangement until further notice. As difficult as it may seem to retain this indissolubility for a lifetime, it is made possible by God's irrevocable love in which the couple shares and which will support them through their marital journey. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that His flesh is true food and His blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire His blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever feel like you're just white-knuckling your way through a hard season, waiting for the storm to pass? Here's something that might change how you think about it. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I reveal that God doesn't want us to just endure suffering. He wants to teach us how to respond to it in a way that leads to greater meaning, deeper relationships, and real personal growth. When we're going through hard times, resist the temptation to ask, "Why is this happening?" Instead, ask God, "How can I respond to this in a way that will make the enemy sorry he ever picked on me?" Let God show you how to leave behind the pain and lean into His plan. That one prayer can change everything. For more tips on finding God's purpose in hard times, check out The Life God Wants You to Have or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Bandwidth Bandits. We're talking about those times when somebody is just sucking up all our time and energy and attention. And even if we want to be helpful, sometimes in those situations, our efforts just end up making things worse. Or they come at such a cost that it's hard to keep it up, and we don't know what to do, what kind of boundaries we can set. How can you be generous and helpful in ways that are actually helpful and healthy? That's what we're talking about today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Before we go back to your questions, we want to spotlight another great EWTN radio affiliate, celebrating an anniversary. St. Gabriel Radio, serving Columbus and Portsmouth, Ohio, is with us for 21 years.
Congratulations to Bill Messerly and his team at St. Gabriel Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And I want to thank all of you for making Catholic radio possible. And so if you are listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Radio affiliate. With your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well, let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. So our thanks and congratulations to Bill Messerly and all the folks at St. Gabriel Radio, and our thanks and congratulations to all of you who make Catholic Radio possible with your support. With that, we are taking your questions right now at 877-573-7825, the show today titled Bandwidth Bandits, as we talk about those times when somebody just needs so much that it's hard to fill the gap. 877-573-7825.
We have a question that came in from Angela, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. She said, my father-in-law expects my husband to drop everything whenever he wants something done, and my husband always says yes because he feels guilty saying no to his dad. It's always been like this, but it's been particularly difficult since my father-in-law retired. It's like he thinks that now that he has more time, everyone else should too. He calls my husband to help with various projects he's doing to stay busy. He'll start something and get in over his head and then call my husband for backup. If it happened once or twice, it would be fine. I would even think it was funny. Excuse me, there's a typo there. And I get that his dad is trying to navigate a really tough transition into retirement. It's not that. It's just that his dad doesn't even think twice about how hard his last-minute calls for help are on us. My husband's burned out. It's affecting our marriage, and it's robbing our kids of our own family time. How do we set a limit with his dad without starting a family war? And that's Angela in Pennsylvania.
Angela, thanks so much for the question. And, you know, and again, you're like Colleen earlier, you know, you're describing a situation where you feel real compassion for your father-in-law. You recognize where he's at. You know, you're trying to be generous and understanding of your husband's position as well, of not wanting to let his dad down. But there are some real costs that are being incurred for the kind of help that your husband's being asked to provide and the way he's being asked to provide it, that are really affecting his health, your marriage and family life. And it's okay to look at that and to make sure that the way we're helping is actually helpful for both us and for the other person. So I actually alluded to this when we were talking about with Colleen and her sister. But it's the same principle here. I call it the qualified yes technique. And the qualified yes doesn't put you in a position where you have to polarize your answer and say either yes or no. It has you ask yourself, what can I say yes to and how could I say yes to it? So in other words, if his father calls and says, hey, I need you to come right now and help me with this plumbing project, or whatever, you know, your husband can say, oh, Dad, you know what, I could come and help at this time or this time, but I can't come right now. Right? So he's saying yes to what your father-in-law is asking, but he's negotiating the how and the when.
And you could even sit down with your husband and prayerfully go through the schedule and say, look, you want time with your dad. You want to be helpful for him. How about we choose every other Thursday to be your night with your dad? The kids and I will know to expect you to be out, and I'll do something with them and hold down the fort, and you can go and help him with whatever project he's in the middle of. But if he calls, as you were saying, Greg, with a plumbing project and it's, you know, leaking all over the floor, that's when you really have to be able to say, wow, Dad, I'm really sorry this is happening right now. I'm in the middle of something. Make sure you turn off the main water and call a plumber now because you need to get this taken care of and I can't be there. That allows the father-in-law to begin to realize that maybe he is in over his head a little bit when he can't just call upon his son and he has to turn to a professional who might cost a little bit to come over, and that's okay because he needs to start learning what he can handle, what he can't handle, and that your son's not always going to be there to bail him out because he has a life of his own. So really saying, yes, I can be there for hangout nights and project nights every other Thursday night. We can schedule that in, but I've got other things going on. My wife and kids need me, so let's just schedule that.
And the specific example that Lisa's giving is just an illustration.
Exactly. I mean,
whatever the timing is that you guys work out prayerfully, that's up to you.
It can be once a week, once a month, twice a week, whatever works for you guys.
But the point is that qualified yes technique allows you to say yes to a person in a way that is good for them and works for you. So you say yes to the what they are asking for, but you are free to negotiate the how and the when that you provide that help and support for. And that's a really good principle, if you will, to keep in mind anytime somebody's asking you for something. It allows you to say yes, but in a way that works. And then it's on them to say, oh, well, that won't work for me, so thanks anyway. But it gets you out of feeling like you have to choose between a very inconvenient yes or an unkind and lacking in generosity no, right? It allows you to say yes in ways that actually work for you, and then it's up to the other person to either accept or reject your offer. Now, that's what to do, and that's the principle. And I'm actually going to suggest, Angela, that you download the podcast of this episode, play it for your husband, and use this conversation as a springboard for some prayer and discernment and conversation between the two of you, because I can see the potential problem here. Like, this is what to do, and hopefully this will be enough, and you guys will be able to run with it. But where it gets complicated, you know, is where, you know, if we have any issues with that particular parent,
yes.
you mentioned that he doesn't like to disappoint his dad. You know, if there's this sort of little part of me that feels like, well, gosh, I don't want to let my dad down, or I'm going to be a bad son if I'm not there for him.
Or as I was saying earlier, I'm still trying to win his approval. So if I don't do it his way, I might not get that. And sometimes we don't have that in the front of our brains. It's sort of gnawing at us in the back of our brains. So a good and faithful spouse can kind of bring that forward gently and see if there's something that needs to be, you know, addressed there.
But how will you know if that's there? Well, you won't be able to use the technique that we just gave you, right? Your husband will struggle to have about a billion reasons why he doesn't feel right saying yes, but negotiating the how and the when. You know, but my dad needs me, but my dad will get upset, but my dad, you know. And what that is, that's not your husband talking. That's that little boy part inside of him that is either seeking dad's approval or, you know, is afraid of disappointing dad or, you know, whatever. But it's not your grown-up husband who would be saying that. If we are in our adult self, we're able to use that qualified yes technique pretty competently and confidently because it gives us a healthy way forward. But the degree to which there might be that wound there is the degree to which it will be complicated to use this. And if that's the case, then it might need to do a little bit of inner healing work, which certainly we could help with through CatholicCounselors.com. But talk it out, pray about it, see how, if, you know, you guys working it out together, you can use this qualified yes technique to be available to your father-in-law, but still in healthy ways that are good for him and for your family. If you're struggling with it, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll coach you through the rest of these steps. Thanks so much for the question, Angela. And we are taking your calls and questions, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Today's show, Bandwidth Bandits. So we talk about those times when there's just somebody in our life who needs us. And that's a good thing, right? We have a right to communicate our needs to other people because God gave us those needs. But we also have a responsibility to communicate those needs in ways that are healthy for them and helpful for us. And in fact, our scripture today really kind of speaks to this a little bit. It's Proverbs 25:17, and there's some things I want to actually say about this.
This is a doozy. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you.
Yeah, I love this. So here's the thing. I was actually torn. Right, there were two verses that I wanted to use today. Actually, that was the first one, and I thought I was going to go with that because it's more foundational for this topic. But the other verse was from Galatians 6:2, which says, "Bear one another's burdens, mm-hmm. and therefore fulfill the law of Christ." And
so, how do you do both?
Well, and they're both true. Yes. That's the thing. So you know, this Proverbs 25:17, "Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you," is true, and Galatians 6:2, you bear one of those burdens, so you fulfill the law of Christ, is also true. How are they both true? Well, they have to be in tension with each other, and in fact, this is a tension that exists throughout Catholic social teaching, which says that basically rights and responsibilities are opposite sides of the same coin. Because when we know our responsibilities, that enables us to exercise our rights in healthy ways. When we know our rights, that lets us know what we're also responsible for. And so we have a tendency, you know, to get kind of myopic and just sort of see either our rights or our responsibilities. But there are always two sides of that same coin. And the reason I'm saying this is because, yes, we have a right to ask for our needs, but we have a responsibility to make sure that we're asking for our needs in ways that are healthy for others and healthy for us. And yes, we have a responsibility to be generous, but we have a right to exercise that responsibility in a way that's healthy for them and healthy for us. It's rights and responsibilities, always two ends of the same coin. And any time we're looking at just one side and asserting our rights regardless of our responsibilities, or asserting our responsibilities regardless of our rights, we cause trouble.
It's a disturbance in the force.
Yeah, exactly. We end up being helpful in ways that aren't helpful and make a mess, or we end up being helpful in ways that are destructive to us and the people that care about us.
Well, I think that what you just said is really pertinent to this particular scripture verse, which again is Proverbs 25:17. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you. Now, most of us hear that, and we're thinking of it from the point of view of the person who requires help. But sometimes we get into a place where we think God's put us in this person's life to be their savior. Mm. We are the Christian. We have to do this to fulfill the law of Christ. So we're putting our foot in their house all the time. And they're thinking, leave me alone. Like, I don't need all this extra help.
They're getting resentful.
Like, I needed you to, like, drive me to the doctors. Or I needed you to, like, mow my lawn that day because I sprained my foot.
Or be a shoulder to cry on that one time.
But I don't need you every second of every day. Give me some space. So this is a both end, you know? And so we both the person who needs the help really needs to be assessing how we ask for that help, so that we can get what we truly need without going overboard, you know? But the people who want to help really have to say, am I being intrusive? Have they really asked? Have they invited this? Am I the person that should be doing this? Or do they have someone closer to them that they would benefit from having there? Or do they need a professional? We really need to pray about this and ask God, Lord, what is my purpose in this situation, if any? Should I just be prayer support? Do I just send a card? Or is there something you need me to be your hands and feet in the midst of doing right now?
Yeah. So making sure that you are aware both of your responsibility to be generous and helpful to others, but you're right to do that in ways that are good for them and also healthy for you. And also on the other side of that, your right to ask for your needs, but your responsibility to do it in a way that's considerate of the needs of others. 877-573-7825. Today's show, titled Bandwidth Bandits. Is someone in your life constantly draining your time, energy, or attention, always seeming to demand more, and you're not sure whether you can set boundaries, how to set boundaries, what those boundaries would look like, what to do if they just roll over the boundaries you've tried to set? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Bandwidth Bandits, as we talk about those people in our life who, you know, who we want to help. Who we care about, but who never seem to have enough of our time or energy and always seem to kind of want or need more. And we want to be there for them, but it's hard to know how to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful for them and healthy for us. And we have a right to do that. We were talking before the break, you know, about the fact that in Catholic social teaching, rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. They're opposite sides of the same coin. So, you know, just as I have a right to exercise or to express my needs to others, I have a God-given right, the Church teaches us, to express my needs. Everybody does. But I have a responsibility at the same time to make sure that I'm expressing those needs in ways that are considerate of the needs of others. Just as I have a responsibility to be generous and helpful to others, I have a right, a God-given right, to exercise that responsibility in a way that's healthy for me and truly helpful for you, as opposed to just doing things so I can say I did them. But navigating what that actually looks like in practice can be challenging. And in fact, you know, it occurs to me, you know, we were talking earlier in our segment with Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute about the distinction St. John Paul made between sentiment and love, you know, where love is actually working for the good of another person, where sentiment is, you know, sort of this kind of feeling that I have to do something, whether that something is actually helpful or not. It reminds me of a book, Toxic Empathy.
What a title.
Allie Stuckey, who talks about it. And it's a kind of controversial book because it really kind of confronts this sort of culture of toxic empathy, this culture of sentiment that says, well, we see suffering, so we must do something, whether that something is actually good for the person who's hurting, healthy for the person who's offering the help, or for the society that helping is going in. It's an interesting question, but everything we're talking about here really is touching on all those kinds of themes. We're here to help, 877-573-7825.
I have a question here from Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa. She says, my mom needs a lot of help now that she's in her 80s. I want to help her, but the problem is that she's cranky, demanding, and mean. She always has been. It's not her age. But now that she has less to do, I'm her target all the time. No matter what I do to help her, I have to put up with her criticism, her nastiness, her rushing me. I don't know how to be kind and helpful and the Christian person I want to be and still tolerate how she treats me. Is there a way to handle this that's in line with my Christian mission but still keeps her from abusing me? That's the question.
Well, it's a great question. Thank you. And I'm sorry that you're in that position. That's a really painful place to be. You know, you're trying to care for your mom. And, you know, as kids, even adult kids, we always want our parents to say, I love you, I'm proud of you, thank
Good
you
job.
So much.
Thank
I
you.
Really appreciate
yeah.
it.
And we deserve that. Any person who's helping them deserves that, but especially their child.
So the fact that you're not getting that, it's painful. And, you know, it's okay to feel hurt or to feel even resentment over it. Now, you know, again, because resentment is a sign from the Holy Spirit that we are doing too much in some way. And that doesn't mean we take that resentment out on the other person, but we should hear that message and ask, you know, are we helping in a way that's actually healthy for us or helpful for, in this case, your mom? So let's talk a little bit about this sort of honor your father and mother thing, because that comes into this too. And,
yeah.
You know, and I would say that at the very least, we have an obligation when it comes to honoring our father and mother. We have an obligation to see to their physical and health needs in some way. That doesn't
it's
necessarily
the in some way yeah. that matters here.
You know, I mean, we have to do it in a way that's safe for us and healthy for them, right? So, if you know, you have the right to you have the responsibility to be there for your mom's physical health needs, but you have a right to do it in a way that works. So, if that means bringing in other help because you can't be there as much or at all,
of how she treats you.
That is appropriate. And I would say this too, all right, so keep in mind, loving somebody means working for their good, which also means not being a near occasion of sin for them.
And I really want to emphasize this, because we've had listeners who have asked us some interesting questions, and they're in their 80s, and even these listeners who have been good Catholics all their lives, and I won't, you know, list all the questions we've gotten, there seems to be this kind of idea that once somebody has reached the last 20 years or so of their life, that somehow they're exempt from mortal sin. And that's not the case.
Or any sin for that matter.
And they just think that just doesn't affect them anymore. They've lived their life. So they
can
be mean, they can act however they want, they can make really unvirtuous choices. And we, as the people who care about them and have been placed in their lives, are called not just to take care of their physical safety, but also it's okay for us to say, hey, you are really behaving in a way that's beneath you, and it's certainly not what I deserve, and this needs to stop.
And it's beneath you, like you said, Lisa. And so that the whole idea of a near occasion of sin,
yeah.
You know, as Catholics, we don't just avoid sin, we avoid the near temptations to sin. So, you know, the classic example, if I'm an alcoholic, I don't just avoid drinking, I don't go into bars either.
Right. I may take a whole route away from passing one.
You know, in this case, you know, the sin is your mom being abusive to you, you know, emotionally abusive. And, you know, if you can't be around her without her being that way, then you become a near occasion of sin to her. And the most loving thing you can do is to pull back. Now, the qualifier on that would be, you know, if her life or health are in jeopardy in some way, then, you know, you need to kind of go in there and attend to that. But that doesn't mean that you have to be subjected to that verbal or emotional abuse any longer than meeting that particular life or health need requires of you. Anything beyond that would require more respect and kindness from her. And it's okay to say, hey, Mom, I love you and I want to be here for you. But if you keep talking to me like that, I'm going to have to go.
you know, or if this keeps up, I'm going to need to hire a nursing aide to come and do some of the things that I'm doing for you because I can't be here for this. And honestly, Mom, I don't like what it's doing to our relationship.
There you go.
So I love you too much to put you in the position where I'm frustrating you or I'm disappointing you or I'm not giving you what you need. And I'll try to find somebody else who can do that better. So it's up to you. Right. So you're the point here is you are working for her good. You're still being generous, but you're doing it in a way that is healthy for you. All right. These are difficult questions to navigate. And if you are in a situation where you're trying to be helpful to someone you care about, but it's just causing a lot of pain and frustration, especially in the relationship, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find healthy ways to be generous that are truly helpful for the other person and healthy for you and your relationship. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.